Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're supposed to be preaching about the Kingdom of God. We're supposed to be seeking the Kingdom of God, and we're supposed to be seeking the righteousness of God. And I'm here to tell you that most of the people claiming to be Christians are not doing that. As a matter of fact, most of the people claiming to be Christians are under strong delusion. And we should have expected that, and some are expecting that while they are already under that strong delusion. So we're going to preach the kingdom. We're going to preach it like John the Baptist preached it. And we're going to tell you a lot of things that you weren't expecting to hear. At least many of you who are not regular listeners may not have been expecting to hear, but you're going to need to hear it anyway. And some of you are not going to like it, and some of you are going to be amazed. Now, recently, I was able to listen to the Ron Paul's farewell address in Congress, which is a timeless statement to the American people. It's the kind of statement you might have heard 100 years ago or more from men like Davy Crockett or Thomas Jefferson or Patrick Henry. But it was given in another time when this country has taken serious changes, and not for the better, but for the worse. And we're not really a political movement trying to change the governments of the world. We are trying to change the hearts of the people, because until the hearts of the people change, governments will not change. Now, why are we even talking about the government? Isn't this a religious program that talks about the Bible? Well, the Bible talks about government. It talks about government from the beginning to the end, from Cain's first city-state to Nimrod's New World Order to Pharaoh to Caesar to Herod to Jesus Christ and John the Baptist preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. That's all about government. Why do you think government was persecuting the Christians officially under men like Marcus Aurelius? It was because they did not participate in the world, the constitutional order and systems of government that men set up for themselves that were contrary to the ways of God and the ways of Christ, that made slaves of men, made men human resources, merchandise. That's what the Bible is about. We're delivering you from that. And the only way you can be delivered from that is to put on the character of Christ, to start doing things the way Christ would do them, the way Jesus would do them, the way Moses would do them, the way the prophets would do them. But unfortunately today, Christians are preaching that all you have to do is believe. They don't really define what believe is. They just believe in Jesus. They don't really tell you who Jesus was and what he was saying. As a matter of fact, they say you don't even have to remember what he said. Just believe in him. If you're not doing what Jesus said, then you don't believe in him. And your faith is a lie. And you're not saved. And you're under a strong delusion, which is where most Christians are. Hard words. But I say them out of love so that you will repent, so that you might be saved. That's why Jesus came, so that you might be saved. Now, why did I mention Ron Paul at all? Because I noticed that after reading his speech, I went down and the first blogger underneath his speech started his blog or his blog comment with, "Preach it, brother." And that's really what he was doing. He was preaching it. And you really, if you listen to Paul carefully, he has said many times that it wasn't government that he thought was the solution. But by running for office, he was able to get that bully pulpit where he could talk to the people. He said over and over again, and if you go on our website, you can see a whole article written about this. You can see it at newsofviews.com. You can see it at hisholychurch.org. It's called Plan B. Paul knew that he might not win, and he talked about a plan B, another thing that you would do. And really, plan B is plan A all along. It has been from the beginning of the Bible to the end. Plan B is plan A in God's eyes, in God's ways. He starts off, restraining aggressive behavior is one thing, but legalizing government monopoly for initiating aggression can only lead to exhausting liberty associated with chaos, anger, and the breakdown of civil society. The fact that he put the word anger in there is really critical. Anger is a product of non-forgiveness, of non-love, of judgment. You can't be angry without judgment. Permitting such authority and expecting saintly behavior from the bureaucrats and the politicians is a pipe dream. Here's a politician talking about saintly behavior. We now have a standing army of armed bureaucrats in the TSA, CIA, FBI, Fish and Wildlife, FEMA, IRS, Corps of Engineers, and he didn't mention it, but I've seen it in the Forestry Service, on and on and on. BLM, everybody. Armed men. Numbering over 100,000, probably well over 100,000. This is Ron Paul speaking. What's he talking about? He's talking about people controlling other people by force. Regulating every aspect of their lives by force. By control. Luke 16:16 says, the law of the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God preached, and every man presseth into it. Now that word presseth into it, what is that word? What is he talking about? Presseth into it. It's actually appears one other place in the Bible, that particular word. It only appears really twice in the whole Bible. But the other time it appears, it does not, it's not translated, presseth into it. It's translated another way. It's the word is biazo. And it has, you know, sources of that word that are very similar to the word kingdom in the Greek. But the other place that that word appears is in Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist. So we're talking about the same thing. They're just going to translate the word differently. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's the word, violent take it by force. Every man are the violent taking it by force. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Same thing, same quote. Just Matthew, we see the phrase kingdom of heaven. It's a quirk of translation because Matthew was written originally in Aramaic. Same thing. The kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God. It is, that right stems all the way back to the garden when God created man. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And those rights are the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And they're even the right to give up your liberties. And men have tried to force a government on other men. Cain did it. Nimrod did it. Lamech did it. Rehoboam did it. It has been a common characteristic of man to control other men, to rule over other men. And this is what Paul, the Ron Paul, is talking about. And it's really what Paul the Apostle was talking about. It's really what the prophets were talking about. Are men the property of the state, or are they free souls under God? That was Cecil B. DeMille in the movie Moses. That's what Moses was talking about. Are you free to make choices, or are you going to elect kings that will make choices for you? Oh, no, we don't elect kings in this country. We elect presidents. I don't care if you call them a president or prime minister. Or what? If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's a duck. It's a king. You just elect them for every 4 years or every 8 years or whatever your country does. It doesn't really matter. But these are your rulers. They are your lawmakers. They are your judges. Same as it was in the Old Testament. They always talk about the Old Testament that, oh, well, that was a theocracy. All governments are theocracies. All governments are theocracies because all governments have gods, ruling judges who rule over them. You elect yours. When you elect yours, you're not electing God. You're electing somebody else. When they elected Saul, it was called a rejection of God. When you elect your leaders, it's a rejection of God that he should not reign over you. A theocracy is who rules you. Is it God, the Father in heaven? Or is it something else? You tell me, who is ruling over you? So when Jesus in the Bible is talking about John the Baptist, talking about the violent take it by force, the violent tried to establish their governments by force, maintain their governments by force, until John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist doing that was so different? Luke 3:7 tells us that it says, "Then said he to the multitude that cometh forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come." Do we have a generation of vipers? Does that warning still take place today? You know, you got to remember that the Jews of Judea, most of them thought they were doing what Moses said, but Jesus said they weren't. Most Christians today think they're doing what Jesus said, but I'm telling you, you aren't. You would be bearing different fruit. And that's what he goes on to say in verse 8, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father." Don't say to yourself, you have Moses. Don't say to yourself, you have Jesus. Where's the fruit? "For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." People that want to talk about seed. Oh, we have to be descendant of Abraham. There you go. He can make children of Abraham from stones. There's actual metaphor mixed into there, but the fact is, it's not seed. It's not bloodline. It's those who were doing what Abraham was doing. And what was Abraham doing? He was leaving the governments of the world that ruled over people like Sodom and Gomorrah, then Egypt, and even Haran and Ur. He was doing something completely different. And we talk about it in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. But let's go on to verse 9. "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruits, is hewn down and cast into the fire." Are you bringing forth good fruit? I just heard a story about 18,000 workers were laid off because their business was closed down by people striking. I don't think that's a good idea. When I read that, I thought Atlas Shrugs. But the problem goes much deeper in whether or not that company could have paid the demands of the union. It goes deep into what kind of money are you paying them with. Millions and millions and millions of people have lost their homes in the last few years. They've lost their life savings. Every day the money in your pocket is becoming worth less and less and less. This is all a direct result that you haven't been reading the instruction book. Do you know the exact same things were taking place in Rome at the time of the early church? Runaway inflation. People losing their homes, devastating famines, dearths, depressions, whatever you want to call them, were running rampant amongst the people. And then came disease, And then came earthquakes and volcanoes and wrath of God kind of stuff. And Rome fell. But we're much bigger than Rome. We'd never fall, right? We never collapse as a nation. We never collapse as a world order. We're headed for the new world order. They've got it all figured out. Right? It's just bigger. And you got VCRs and DVDs. And Blu-ray. So, I mean, this all can't all fail, right? Hasn't failed for you yet, has it? Well, actually, it has failed for millions of people. They picked themselves up, but now, where are they going to go? What should they be doing? Looking to the government more? What did, you know, trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? No, not going to happen. That's insanity. You got to try what Christ said. You actually have to do what he said. Don't just tell me you believe in him. Believe in what he said. He said, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. You better figure out what the will of the Father is. Do you know what the weightier matters of Christ are? He told you. And then the people asked John, saying, what shall we do then? Well, hey, you don't need to ask that question because all the Christians today tell you don't have to do anything. Just believe. You don't have to do anything, right? Just believe. That's a gospel out of hell itself. That is a gospel out of hell itself. I said it twice so that you would hear it. Oh, you don't have to listen to what God said. You don't have to do what he said. You can do whatever you want. Go ahead and eat that apple. Of course, it wasn't an apple. It was the knowledge of good and evil. You can go ahead and do whatever you want. You're saved because Jesus died on the cross. How do you know you're one of those ones that he said might be saved? Maybe you're one of those that might not be saved. No, this is, I'm giving you both barrels here, folks. Luke 3:11. He answereth to tell them what they need to do. And saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. What's he talking about? Do you need unemployment? Do you need welfare? Do you need medical? Do you need a loan? Do you need help? Let he who has share with he who does not have. Now, those instructions weren't, go elect a man who's got a big gun who can force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That's not in these instructions. That's contrary to these instructions. He's talking about charity. Live by charity, not by the sword. It's amazing how many socialists says, oh, I would never have a gun in my house. They don't need a gun in the house. They got the government out there robbing their neighbors. I shouldn't say robbing because their neighbors have all joined the same club. And it's legal to take from them. But still by force. You say, well, wait a minute. I don't want to contribute today. Too bad. You have to. Because you're in bondage. You're entangled again in the elements of the world. You are the dog that has returned to his vomit and the pig to his mire. And you're not a Christian because you're not following Christ. Unless you want to define Christian as something else. Why do you go to church? I feel good when I go to church. It makes me feel good. I love the music. My wife makes me. Where the heck is Christ in that? You're going to have to do some serious, serious repenting, folks. And you haven't got a lot of time to do it in. People are dying. Everybody's facing death here pretty soon. We all are. The clock is ticking. Verse 12, then came also the publicans, what are those, tax collectors, to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Why is they pointing out publicans? These are people who are government workers. They know that they're putting this in a separate category, because these aren't just the regular folks. These are the guys who are implementing the system that forces the people to provide the benefits of their neighbors. And they know that John the Baptist is saying that's wrong. He's not saying to give a monopoly of violence to a government to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. He's saying the opposite. So when the publicans want to become a part of this, this is our job. What can we do? We're already entangled. The Romans are already here, and Herod has already run the system, and we've already been baptized by Herod, and we have to pay into his system. And John didn't have the way to set them free from that. But he was getting them prepared to make straight the way of the Lord. Just like in the days of Moses when they had to pay their tally of bricks, but they had to glean in the field at night for their benefits. They weren't going to get any government help. They weren't going to get any government aid. They were going to learn to take care of themselves. And it was really important to do that because famine was coming. And the FEMA of Egypt, the Pharaoh's Emergency Management Agency, spelling Pharaoh with an F, wasn't going to be able to help them. As a matter of fact, he was going to do a pretty poor job when things got rough. And they were going to have to help each other. And they did. And they learned how to do that. They learned how to do that because they learned how the kingdom operated. And Moses was teaching them. And he had learned that out there in the desert. And he brought the message back to the people. This is the way you have to do it. You have to take care of one another. You have to love one another. Yeah, that's what Moses said. Enough to gather together, not just in your little local congregation that makes you feel good, but with a international network of people who care about the rights of their brothers as much as they care about their own, who care about the lives of their brothers as much as they care about their own, who care about their brothers and neighbors' children as much as they care about their own. It's not their little, I feel good and I love Jesus congregation. But it's really willing to see the kingdom and network together so that you can be there for one another in real ways. If you can't do that, then the kingdom of God is not on earth as it is in heaven, because that's the way it is in heaven. Jesus always had trouble with the guys that say, wait a minute, I can't come right now. No, that isn't in the nature of the kingdom. The kingdom is, I'm here for you, brother. I am here for you, brother. I am going to take the time to connect with you, brother, so I can be there for you when you need help. And I hope you will do the same, because I want to live like John the Baptist said, like Jesus said, like Moses said, like Abraham said. I don't want to just do an altar call and then pretend I'm saved because I believe in Jesus. I want to actually believe in what he said and do what he said, because I want to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So what are you going to do about that? How are you going to operate there? So, he said to them, what did he say to those publicans? What did he say to the soldiers? What did he say to these other people? Why did they list soldiers and publicans separate from everybody else? It's very clear he was saying live by charity, but he also was making straight the way of the Lord. And we'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Thank you.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to again talk more about the kingdom of God. We're talking about John the Baptist, who preached the kingdom of God was at hand. We're talking about how the publicans came to John the Baptist to be baptized. Publicans being not just tax collectors, but that was a major part of it, but they were the government workers of Judea. They actually worked a great deal out of the temple. There were a couple different kinds of them. They collected different kinds of taxes, excise taxes, tariff taxes. And I mean, you could be taxed on the use of the roads. You could be taxed on your property. You could be taxed on all these. Almost all these taxes are use taxes of some sort. And they were forbidden by Moses because they are usury. Use taxes are usury. And so the publicans were hearing what John the Baptist was actually preaching, making straight the way of the Lord, because the people weren't going the way of the Lord. They were going another way, and they needed to repent and turn around and go the right way. And the fact is, today Christians need to repent, turn around, and go the right way too, but they are not going the right way. They're going the wrong way. So we're going to look at some of these things that John was talking about and relate them to the history at that time, because so you can realize that you are going down the same historical path, and that is a path to destruction. So then came the publicans to him to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. In other words, stop abusing. I have seen government agents all around the world abuse people. They actually know, well, we know that he's got these deductions. We know they're reasonable and everything, but we're going to make him. They actually have this attitude, and they feel absolutely justified in making him bow down and do what they want, and they will charge that, oh, well, we're going to disallow all his deductions, you know, like companies. It was actually a company, had all kinds of employees, paid all these employees, clearly paid them. They all filed their taxes. They had their 1099s and W-4 forms and all that stuff. And the IRS just came in and disallowed all that. Said, oh, well, you're not going to be able to deduct any of that from what your business made. So now we say your business made hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that you actually, we know, and the records are there, that you actually paid out to real people. But they did that just to make the guy squirm, just to force him to the table. That's not what John the Baptist said. Now, you know, some of those guys think they're Christians. They're not, because they're not exacting honestly. They're not acting honestly. They are abusing people. And of course, people are reacting. But what are they doing? They're becoming angry. And we just heard Paul talking about this anger thing. And we know Jesus talked about this anger thing all the time. And talked about chaos. You know, people always talk about the New World Order. Let me let you know, the New World Order is not that orderly. It's very chaotic. Nobody seems to even know what the rules are. Exactly same thing was going on at the time of Jesus. And this is why John the Baptist brings it up. And then the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Well, you can go to papers all over the country and read how there has been government abuse. Abuse by police officers. Now, I'm not saying all police officers are abusive, but certainly police officers do abuse. They abuse their power. And I actually wore a badge and a gun at one time for a living. There's always this great temptation because it's kind of an unappreciated position. Now, with me, it wasn't a big temptation to beat somebody over the head with a billy club because I was enraged with anger. But I have seen other guys get close to that myself. I've heard them talk about it. That they would do violence, not acting according to the law. And we see this time and time again. Why? Because there are hundreds, swarms of these officers everywhere, far more than you need, because something in our society has changed. I mean, I don't want all those officers to go away. I want you to start taking back your responsibilities. Start becoming the upright Christians you were supposed to be all along, but somebody said, oh, no, y'all, you have to do is believe. You don't have to actually tend to the weightier matters. And by the way, I don't even know what they are anymore. Like I told you, I've told the story many times about in a room full of preachers. I asked them, what did Jesus list as the weightier matters? And there was hundreds of years of study in this room of the Gospels. And none of them could answer what the weightier matters were. And Jesus listed them off. And it was law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Law? But we're not under the law anymore. It is almost hysterically funny when people say that. You're not under the law. And as we read more from Mr. Paul's speech, we'll see how much under the law you really are. Anyway, in verse 15, he says, "And as people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he was the Christ or not." Now, I know a lot of Christians are in expectation, but you know what you really need to be worried about? Whether you're going to be called one of those groups that are workers of iniquity that thought they were Christians doing things in his name, or whether he's going to say to you, "Come into the kingdom, you good and faithful servant." You know, servants do. They don't just believe, "Yeah, I work for so-and-so, but I don't actually do anything for them. I just sleep here behind the haystack. I just kind of go do my own thing, but I'm one of his servants, but I don't actually do my job." I actually had somebody today tell me that, "Oh, well, you know, if a servant, if even you keep the commandments, you're still this unprofitable servant. Even if you can't keep the commandments unless Christ is in you, folks." The guy takes one little tiny quote out of there and disregards all the places where Jesus said, if you want eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. If you love me, you keep the commandments. Those who love me keep my commandments. And all the places where Paul says to keep the commandments, list them off. Thou shalt not covet. And you know, generally speaking, every single Christian church in the United States sends their people to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And who are these men? Well, Ron Paul talks about them. He talks about the immoral use of force is the source of man's political problems. Sadly, many religious groups, secular organizations, and psychopathic authoritarians endorse government-initiated force to change the world. Preach it, Ron, preach it. Because that's what John the Baptist was saying. And they were coming out to him to get baptized. I wouldn't be surprised if Ron went into the baptism business after this. You know, I mean, he's saying it. You know, now that he's not running for political office, he may get even more outspoken than he was before. But psychopathic authoritarians, who's he talking about? That's the ones you elect. Even when the desired goals are well-intentioned, or especially when well-intentioned, the results are dismal. The end does not justify the means. The means destroys the ends. It turns them in a certain way. If you operate by force, you live by the sword. All you socialists live by the sword. You cannot be a socialist and a Christian at the same time. Write it down. The good results sought never materialize. The new problems created require even more government force as a solution. That's why you got more government force and more and more and more, because you haven't been the solution. You have been the problem, either through apathy or directly desiring the government to provide you benefits at the point of a gun to your neighbor's head. That is not Christian. You have been listening to a false, lying, deceptive gospel, and you need to repent. The net result is institutionalizing government, initiated violence, and morally justifying it on humanitarian grounds. That's Paul talking. And I hope you can make the distinction when I'm reading. I read with a little bit different tone to my voice so I don't have to say quote, unquote all the time. And we don't have verse and chapter to his speech. And I just, you know, copied over certain lines so that we could talk about this, because I think it's very close to the kingdom. You know, churches today, 501c3 registered churches aren't supposed to talk about government. Of course, we don't advocate politics in government and other governments, we see the churches exactly as it's defined, one form of government. It's not like other governments. It doesn't exercise authority one over the other. The church ministers are to be the benefactors of the people. That's where you should be going for your welfare. You should be eating at the table of the Lord, set by free will offerings. This is the way it was in the Old Testament. This is the way it was in the early church. And it's not the way it is today in your church. The only reason you donate to your church is to buy a bigger screen TV or fancier buildings. The church is people who love one another as Christ loved us, who sacrifice themselves for one another. And most of the people in your churches don't want to do that. They just want to go there and feel good, be recharged and generated, and pretend that emotionalism is spiritualism. That's a lie. It leads to the abomination. And you need to repent. John the Baptist did not come making you feel good. Ron Paul goes on to say this is the same fundamental reason our government uses force for invading other countries at will. Central economic planning at home and the regulation of personal liberties and habit of our citizens. That's why it does it. Because you do it. Because you want them to do it. You don't want them to do it to you, you just want them to do it to others because you don't love your neighbor as yourself. It is rather strange that unless one has a criminal mind and no respect for other people and their property, no one claims it is permissible to go into one's neighbor's house and tell them how to behave and what they can eat, smoke, and drink, or how to spend their money, or how much to give. I'll added the last part to his speech. No one thinks they have that right to go into their neighbor's house and say, give me money. I want free education for my children. Hand it over. But every one of you are doing it as a matter of policy. John the Baptist wouldn't do that. Christ wouldn't do that. He wanted you to live by what? Faith, hope, and charity? That's not living by charity. That's living by force. And until John the Baptist, a lot of people thought that's the way you should do it. The Constitution established four federal crimes, according to Ron Paul. Today, the experts can't even agree on how many federal crimes are now on the books. They number into the thousands. No one person can comprehend the enormity of the legal system, especially the tax codes. Due to the ill-advised drug wars and the endless federal expansion of the criminal code, we have over 6 million people under correctional suspension, more than the Soviets ever had, more than any other nation today, including China. I don't understand the complacency of the Congress and the willingness to continue their obsession with passing more federal laws. Mandatory sentencing laws associated with drug laws have compounded our prison problem. You see what's going on here? You say you're not under the law. But according to Ron Paul, the Federal Registry is now 75,000 pages. And the tax code is over 72,000 pages long. And it's expanded every year. When will the people start shouting enough is enough? Well, the problem is the people are pigs. They can't get enough. They want more. They want more and more. And you are tied to those pigs because you've all been baptized at the same altar. You've all applied at the same table. In Proverbs, it tells you, if you sit and eat with a ruler, eat with a ruler, eat at his table with a ruler, and you be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat, for he serves you deceitful meats. Paul and David say that what should have been for your welfare becomes a snare. Are you setting the table of the Lord in your church, or do you just go there to feel good? In Romans 6:14, we see, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. But you guys are under the law. You can't say there is another king, one Jesus, because you went and elected your king. If you vote, you can't complain. You bet at the races, and you probably lost. Even if your candidate won, you will lose. You will lose. You think it for a little bit of, you know, vanity, you will have all that you were promised. I've been watching candidates in country after country for years and years. You never get what you were promised. Actually, in some ways you do. I think one of the presidents promised you change. You're going to get change. He didn't say what kind, but you didn't bother asking. You're going to get change. Is it change for good or change for the worse? You're not going to see fruit. You're going to see bad fruit. Romans 6:15 goes on to say, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. You have to remember that early Christians, because they were baptized, were cast out of the government systems of welfare of Judea. They did not run and join the government systems of welfare at Rome or Corinth or Ephesus. They had their own system based on faith, hope, and charity. This is why historians called them a viable republic in the heart of the Roman Empire, never-increasing state. But it wasn't a state where the state was in the hands of the government. It was a state where the state was in the hands of the people. Not a democracy, but a true and pure republic. If you don't know what I mean by that, you need to go to our website and look that up. Because that's not what you have today. You are in a democracy today. You're in a socialist democracy today. And the emphasis has moved from democracy to socialist. It's an indirect democracy, but that's what it is. And it was created inside of a republic, but that's not where you live anymore. You've gone whoring after the benefits of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority because you didn't care what happened to your neighbor, which is why you have people raped and robbed in the streets and nobody does anything about it. Now, some are doing something about it. Some want to do something about it. Some are righteous in their hearts. They are good people, and they are seeking righteousness. So now you need to get the baptism of Christ and come together in righteousness, not because you have signed some contract, but because you actually care. If you actually care, you will take the time to network together so that you don't leave anybody behind. What if you lived in a town that you knew was about to be flooded? The dam was breaking. Would you all rush for the edge of the town and just run over each other and knock people down? Or would you try to get organized and make sure that you didn't leave anybody behind in the orphanage? Make sure you didn't leave anybody behind, some old person who was in a wheelchair and couldn't make it. Would you work together to make sure you got everybody out of town because you actually care about your neighbor as much as yourself? Well, if you're going to do that, you have to get organized. You have to pay attention. We had a congregation back in the East Coast. It was kind of loosely organized, but they were trying. They were trying to figure out how it worked. And the minister had to move all the way across the country. And they didn't pick another minister. They were kind of, one person had to also move to France. And so, you know, there was a lot of things that were kind of hard on that congregation. And they kind of got dispersed and disconnected. And then the big Sandy came. And we were checking. Our people were checking on each other, but they didn't have a viable congregation. It was 5 days till we found out that one of the people that used to be a part of that congregation got 4 feet of water in his house. And we had people checking on him. And people that were not yet even in a congregation drove and brought him things he needed. They bought him and brought things that he needed, even though he wasn't a member of a congregation. Well, if we had been swamped and our congregations were just overwhelmed, we might not have ever got around to him. But, you know, we're so anxious to help one another that we actually went out of our way to help somebody who hadn't bothered to go out of his way to gather with us. And that's okay. It's good practice for us to be the FEMA of Christ. What is the FEMA of Christ? It's the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. It's not based on force. It's based on charity. It's not based on exercising authority. It's based on exercising love. It's based on caring about others. Now, those who don't want to work with us, they don't have to. They don't have to gather with us. But I think it's a good idea. But if they don't, that's okay. But we've created a network where you can gather together. We did not create a network so that you could try to get people to gather just with you. We created a network so that you could gather together in one accord with everybody. We can't take care of the needs. You know, at the same time all this was going on and the Sandy thing, there was a fire broke out one of the nuclear plants there in New York. And they couldn't put the fire out. They notified FEMA and Homeland Security that they couldn't get the fire out. And they were scrambling to shut down the reactor because this is a Fukushima-type reactor. And that fire got out of hand, you'd have a Chernobyl's in Fukushima right there in New York. And then it wouldn't be about leaving home for a week or so until the water receded. It'd be like leaving home for the next 500,000 years. Because you'd have nuclear waste going everywhere. So where are you going to evacuate to? I'm sure there's a FEMA camp somewhere that will take you in. So you're all set. Don't worry about it. The government's there to help. But for you guys who might want to go somewhere else, you better start networking now. You better start gathering together with other people who care and understand righteousness, who actually care about one another. We're going to keep following this speech of Ron Paul's because it's just full of biblical principles. And we're not trying to get him elected because he's done. He's had it. Now, till we meet again, may peace be upon your house and God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.